Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. Welcome back. Moolala Money Made Simple is brought to you in part by Credit Canada. I am the CEO of the organization, and we are Canada's longest standing nonprofit credit counseling agency. Our mission is to help people get out of debt so they can get back into life. Listen, debt is a brutal reality for millions of Canadians. It starts to pile on for lots and lots of different reasons: job loss, divorce, illness, bad luck, you name it. Our accredited credit counselors are available to help you understand your current financial situation and take you through all your options on how to move forward. And there really are options out there. So go to creditcanada.com. We are nonprofit. As I said, the counseling is free and judgment free. One of the most amazing things about the internet is that it has made the market much, much more efficient. The market for almost everything. It is so easy now to find a hotel to book, Expedia, a rare comic to buy, eBay, a partner to date, Bumble, Tinder, Grindr, all that stuff. It has also made it easier for academics to connect with research grants, admittedly a less sexy service than some of the others that I might have mentioned, but important nonetheless. Profound Impact is a female-founded company that helps academics and industry researchers find the perfect funding match. Founder and CEO Sherry Shannon Vanstone joins us now to talk about it. She's in Campbellville, Ontario. Hello there.
Hello, Bruce. Great to be here today.
How did you identify the need to reduce the friction between academics and their funding sources?
In fact, we talked to several of the universities in this area. Well, for Laurier in particular, at Waterloo, we were there selling some other products, and we just asked them, what keeps you up at night? We asked the vice president of research, and he said, funding. We need more funding, and we need to be able to move forward from spreadsheets, you know, doing this manually. And we said, okay, well, let's see what's out there. So we helped them do a market validation study. We found out there really weren't very effective tools that were available. So we, being a Profound Impact, was already into data and analytics and AI. And we said, well, we can develop the solution, and we did.
And I made the reference to dating apps, but you literally swipe right on a grant opportunity?
Yes, you can swipe, or you can also say you're not interested too and swipe the other way. So
that's great.
What it is that the researcher receives the email, it's targeted, the match is made, you know, purposely, intentionally, and targeted to them. They don't have to look through a list of 10 matches. They get one, and they can say yes or no to it. And the communication flow and the matching is all done very quite effectively.
Now, this topic is a little away from what we normally do on Moolala, but because so many academics really struggle to find the, I'm using air quotes here, the income to fund the research, I thought it was fitting. And I also love that it's a unique take at solving a problem that exists in lots of different categories, in nonprofit, in academia, in lots of different areas. Tell me first, how the people with the money engage with the platform, because that seems like a harder sell than the people who want the money.
Well, we're very, very proactive on that part. Most funding opportunities are publicly available. They want people to find the funding. So we ingest all of that data into our platform, and we continuously update it on an ongoing basis. It for the private foundations and some specific others, we do have to contact the foundations to obtain their approval to import their data into our platform. But all are welcoming to do that because they want researchers to find the funding. And they want also great matches. They want to have effective use of the research dollar.
What are some of the variables that each side would be considering? So in dating, it's you know, long walks and fires. It's they need to be 6'2" or, you know, blonde or from a particular part of the country. I don't know. There's lots of things that people put in dating profiles. What do you put in a funding profile?
In a funding profile, we include the researcher's previous publications, their previous grants. If maybe they're switching areas, so it may not even be relevant, then they have to provide that information. Maybe they were in cryptographic algorithms now, and their cryptocurrency is their research area. So what we do is we take their profile, we take their common CV, which is, you know, their curriculum vitae, and we take all of that, and then they also can massage the data if needed. We pull out some keywords, something very specific to them, to so that they're unique. It could also be gender, it could also be location. Many grants are gender specific, and many are also geographically focused. So we have to pull all of that in. And then once we look at the grant, we look at the eligibility requirements, we compare them, and then the matching happens with our algorithms. And also it's machine learning algorithms. So the more the matches we get, and the more people are swiping right to say, yes, this was a good match, the more we learn from the algorithms. Also, we learn from the not accepting it or swiping left too.
How do you factor in some of the ethical issues that are present when it comes to funding academic research? And I'll oversimplify to use examples that we've seen over the course of time, like drug company research funding pharmacology or oncology, or energy companies funding research into fossil fuels or other, other climate change initiatives. There's questions there that wouldn't be present in other areas. How do you factor those in?
Well, one of the things is that we don't factor them in. So they don't become a part of the equation, meaning that we're not influenced in the match by who the funder is. So I think that's a clearer, unbiased way of doing these matches. As an individual, the researcher has the option to not move forward on this match if they see who the researcher, who the funding organization is, and they do not want to move forward with the research in this area. But I think using AI and machine learning and taking human beings out of it, we get a better and unbiased match.
How do you make your money as an organization?
We are a software as a service annual subscription model.
And so, and who is the who has the subscription? Is it the person looking for the money, or the organization offering the funding?
We work with universities, Office of Research and faculties, and they pay the subscription. We also have a direct to researchers, which is an individual subscription at a very low cost per month.
Your operation principally in Canada at this point, correct?
Correct. We just are preparing to launch in the U.S. We have about 10 clients in the U.S. under negotiations at this time. So we're getting ready to launch in the U.S. We're excited about that.
What are some of the differences, the nuances that will be required for you to offer your service in other countries, not just the U.S.? Because higher education in Canada is very, very different than in the U.S. The endowments are enormous. The role of government is very, very different. What have you learned so far just as you get set to launch?
There's a lot more money there.
Yeah.
There's more opportunities. And we find that we're always bringing in new opportunities into our database. So we are prepping with our official launch in January 2024 into the U.S. We have to be prepared to have a more robust, I won't say robust, more opportunities. So we have to go out and ingest a lot more data and stay on top of it. There are some other nuances. I won't go into it. Some of the workflow has to change. Is what we're learning. Mm. But the one thing is, it's mostly all English. Right now we're getting ready to launch a French version here in Canada, and then we'll figure out about what other languages we need to offer the solution. But right now, Canada, US, English, The majority of funding opportunities are offered in English worldwide. And so not a lot. Not a lot of changes, but there are some subtle ones. Yes.
Profound Impact came onto our radar because of some good press around new efforts to fund companies with primarily with female founded companies that with the help of primarily female investors. Tell us about what this latest round of funding means for you. I mean, surely it means something practical, but I wonder, what does it mean philosophically?
Well, philosophically, it's a huge shift, and it's a shift that I've been ranting about for the last year. I've been I call it my soapbox. I get on these podcasts and interviews, and I'm ranting about the lack of funding for female founders, and it's only like 2% last year in Canada, and even worse in the U.S. at this time, and that's crazy. But what, I can rant and rave about it because there is something intrinsically biased in the system.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, how can we fix it? Well, I said, forget it. I'm not going to try to fix the old, the boys club, VCs. There's only 11% of women in the VC firms in Canada. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go after this group of funders that has not been tapped. And these are women who have wealth, have the money to invest, but have never invested, whether pre-seed, angel, or wherever. And just focusing on them, I opened up this whole, I didn't do it on my own, but I heard other people talk about it, I talk about it, and I went out and did it. And we were oversubscribed on our funding. We wanted to raise 3 million, we raised 3.125. And what I was most excited about it is that it was first time female investors that. And now there's a study that came out about a month ago from an organization called The 51. It's talking about the 51% of our population, which are female. And they put out a report that estimates that we can add, by tapping into women as angel investors, we can add $3.22 trillion to the VC capital available globally.
Wow. Just one last question before we go. What needs to happen for this to 10x the awareness, the engagement, all those sorts of things? Because it really feels like this is not the first conversation I've heard about the challenge and some of the solutions on female-founded companies. What takes it to an entirely different level, in your view?
We need a huge momentum on this. We need to get it going and roll it out and talk about it all the time. We do need to educate women on the funding side, give them opportunity to be an angel investor and understand what that is, but also we need to be talking about it. And I appreciate this time with you today, Bruce, to amplify this. There are some activities that we're doing here in Canada and US to try to amplify it even more. And I say, we just keep talking about it, bring up the awareness, and also bring the opportunity for educating women to become angel investors.
Fantastic. Sherry, thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Bruce.
Sherry Shannon Vanstone is the founder and CEO of Profound Impact. And we're having two conversations at once. One is the expansion of their matching program for funding and researchers. And second, the real opportunity for entrepreneurs, female entrepreneurs, to get access to the capital that is going to have their businesses fly.
Hi, it's me, your debt. Look, we need to talk. This isn't working. The missed payments, the collection calls, and all those sleepless nights. We need nonprofit debt counseling, and I found the perfect place. Credit Canada Debt Solutions. They're non-judgmental, 100% confidential. They'll negotiate with creditors and even stop interest. Don't you want to rebuild your credit? You deserve better.
Break up with debt. Visit creditcanada.com.